It's time for overtime.
And I know just the guy to talk to.
In the world of sport, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Hear from coaches, the players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two of overtime. Congratulations to Jeremy, winner of our trivia contest today. He and his family, he and his friends hooked up with a four-pack of tickets for the Minnesota Twins on the 4th of July, taking on the Detroit Tigers. We'll have plenty of Twins tickets to give away throughout the remainder of the regular season. Best way to win is by staying engaged with the show on social media at ESPN Sioux Falls on Twitter, and by just plain and simply listening and interacting with us. The ESPN hotline, 605-362-3776, also serves as your opportunity to contest with us. We got contests all week long, Wednesday and Friday, bankable contests every week, the Identity Crisis on Wednesday, High Noon Showdown on Friday, and of course, over the weekend, the Friday Parlay brought to you by High End Glass and Tobacco. Still to come, we'll be chatting with Sanford Sports Director of Basketball, Nate Kading, here in about 5 minutes on today's show. So we'll dive in quickly to your scorecard and highlights from yesterday. Arif Hassan of Wide Left Post will swing by around 12:30. And we finish up today's show with the latest news and nuggets in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Certainly good and great last night for the Boston Celtics. They hoist their 18th NBA Finals championship banner soon as the Celtics get the job done. Last night was not close off the jump, not close at the half, not close at the end of the third quarter, and the final score 106-88 as Boston gets the job done once again.
106-88, Boston leading Dallas. They're all on their feet here at the Garden. The coaches shake hands, Joe Mazzulla and Jason Kidd. The final 4 seconds tick away. Get ready to raise an 18th banner, Boston. The Celtics are once again the winningest franchise in the history of the NBA. It's an 18th title for the Celtics, the 2024 NBA champions.
Quite the night there in Boston. They led by 21 at the break. Jason Tatum, 31 points, 11 assists. Jaylen Brown named your finals MVP. And Jaylen Brown said it was the team being together that made all the difference to earn the title.
Just our growth together. We've been through a lot. You know, we've been playing together for 7 years now. We've been through a lot. You know, the losses, the expectations, the media, you know, have said all different types of things. You know, we can't play together. We are never going to win. We heard it all. You know, but we just blocked it out and we just kept going. I trusted him. He trusted me. And we did it together. So, you know, to get to this point, you know, and share that experience with JT is just awesome. I can't, you know what I mean? It's just amazing and it feels great.
That's Jaylen Brown, finals MVP this year. Boston won again. Once again, winners in game five, 4-1 in the NBA finals this year. 106-88, the final last night. Now, of course, the debate cannons fire up in regards to the future of the Dallas Mavericks. Bobby Marks of ESPN talking about some of the objectives this offseason and some of the overall plans for the Dallas Mavericks moving forward.
Kyrie is interesting. You know, listen, to win a championship, your stars got to be stars. And he did not play like, an all-star for pretty much most of the season here. So I don't know if I'm willing to sell on him. I do think you have some other pieces, whether it be Tim Hardaway Jr., who's got on an expiring contract. Maybe you sell on Gafford and Lively becomes your starter permanent at center here. So I do think there's other moves to be made, but I do think the challenge is Boston's got a little bit of an easier way to get to another NBA Finals compared to, you know, where Dallas is if they kind of stay where they are.
Certainly a lot up for debate for both Boston and Dallas. The big question is, can, will, and should the Mavericks explore moving Kyrie Irving or at least listening to offers, reaching out for offers and interest? We'll wait and see, but definitely a new storyline that developed in the wake of the NBA Finals. Major League Baseball Finals from yesterday, Giants over the Cubs from Wrigley 7-6. St. Louis beats up on Miami in extras on the road, 12 innings to settle the score. Cardinals win 7-6. Detroit Detroit lost in Atlanta 2-1. Dodgers over the Rockies 9-5. And the Angels take care of business against Milwaukee 5-3. The final there. Twins back in action after a day off yesterday. Minnesota is home to the Rays. 6 o'clock pregame. 6:40. The official start time from Target Field. And again, you can listen as always to Twins baseball right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Quickly here, just one news and nugget information for your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. South Dakota women's basketball will take on neighboring Nebraska in a non-conference matchup at the Sanford Pentagon here in Sioux Falls on Saturday, November 16th. You want tickets, you're going to have to wait just a little while. They become available in mid-August on the 15th at 10 a.m. Central via Ticketmaster.com. Neutral site game and will not be included with USD season ticket packages. So, if you want to see the Yotes close to home here in Sioux Falls, August 15th, go ahead and save the date. Tickets on sale 10 a.m. South Dakota and Nebraska. Locking horns here from the Sanford Pentagon. Speaking of that Pentagon, speaking of Sanford, Sanford Sports Director of Basketball, Nate Kading, set to join us next, talking about the high school basketball combines coming up here in the Sioux Falls area in very short order. We'll dive into that talk right away, coming up next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on the Tuesday edition of Overtime. You know and you've heard in the past when it comes to sports and greatness, it's what you do when people aren't watching that makes the difference. It's what you're doing in the offseason that can make the difference in the season. We just saw the Celtics win the NBA Finals, and if you're looking to win moving forward in the sport of basketball, look no further than Sanford Sports Basketball Programs, Camps, and Opportunities. Joining us now on the ESPN Hotline, Nate Kading, the Sanford Sports Director of Basketball joins us now. They've got a couple different basketball combines coming up. The boys basketball combines featuring grades 10 through 12 is June 23rd from 1 to 5 p.m. Girls combine the following day, grades 9 through 12 also from 1 to 5 p.m. You can register online at sanfordsports.com. Nate, it's a blast to have you to talk about the combines and all the happenings there with Sanford. How you been?
Doing well, Bert. Appreciate you having us on here. And yeah, summertime for this realm of business is always a hectic time with, as you mentioned, the combines that we have coming up. But also we do a variety of camps and clinics from young ages all the way through some college and some pro stuff every now and again. And then we're also operating 35 spring summer teams right now. So busy times here, but always fun and exciting being able to work with the athletes that we're able to.
And obviously, this is a big opportunity for these high schoolers who, at this point, you go through some of the AAU, you go through the learning, the fundamentals, everything. You get into high school basketball and, of course, travel basketball. It starts to get pretty serious, especially if you're looking to make that jump up to play college hoops and beyond. What do you guys aim to deliver from these combines? Because I know you guys had the football combine not too long ago, this one geared towards basketball. What's the main objective from a Sanford perspective, from the coach's perspective, of these combines for girls and boys?
Really, it's three main things, and it's not all that different than even what we try to accomplish out of our teams. But we open these combines up to, certainly we'll have a good representation from our own Sanford Sports Academy teams, but we also want to drive and try to get the best athletes from this area. You know, we'll have different states represented, certainly a large amount from South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, even a couple coming down from North Dakota. So we want this event to be an incredibly high level event where people can kind of test themselves against some of the area's best. In addition to that, we already have committed, just like our football combine, multiple colleges, some of the main local NSIC schools will be here, in addition to a good representation from the NAIA GPAC conference, as well as the North Star conference. So that recruiting piece is kind of the second thing, just giving these athletes another opportunity to get in front of college coaches and be able to show them in a little bit different of a realm than you might see them with their own, you know, high school and club team. We'll do some performance measurements with our performance people that will come over here, in addition to some skill stuff, some small-sided games, and then we'll end with that five-on-five piece of things. But then the last thing is we hope, just like we always do when we're in the facility and in the gym with these kids, that they can learn something about their game, strengths, weaknesses, stuff that they need to get better at, and continue to just pour into them every opportunity that that we have here.
We're talking with Nate Kading, Sanford Sports Director of Basketball here, Tuesday edition of Overtime, ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Nate, wanted to ask you, because obviously you guys have events that come around every year. When it comes to events like this combine, the overall numbers, and you mentioned the regional folks coming down, North Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, folks are coming around to be a part of this. What is kind of the footprint look like for this over time? Is it continuing to grow? And I know it feels like the word of mouth game. If you get a kid down from North Dakota, has a great experience, has a good time and learns some things and grows their profile, they might go back and talk to two or three of their friends and they might come down the year following. So I know that's part of the goal and part of the mission is to expand. But from the start of this to where we are now, what kind of expansion and growth have you seen as far as numbers and the footprint of the draw of the athletes?
Yeah, this is our third summer that we've ran this event, and we've honestly had some pretty good representation each year. I think the one thing that we've seen is maybe we are continuously getting higher and higher athletes and level of athletes kind of across the board. It's certainly, this isn't necessarily a deal that we're going to have hundreds of kids in the gym. We really want to try to focus this on, those high-level players that have aspirations of really playing in college and being able to operate in front of those college coaches. But we'll have, even right now we still have some spots obviously available to sign up with. But we'll end up, over those 2 days, we'll have, I think last year we had roughly about 140, 150 kids in the gym, and it'll probably be right around that mark, if not a little bit more. But the one thing is, we've been here now, myself and Freddie Coleman, who's up in Fargo, that working hand in hand with one another. Our program has just continued to expand, even from a team perspective, in the amount of talent and ability that we're drawing right now. We have kids that are playing for our teams from, 7-8 hours away, which is an incredible commitment. But, we'd like to think that we're providing them a pretty unique and cool platform. And this is just another avenue, this combine. But as I mentioned, whether you're playing for us or whether you're playing for, another program, or you're not playing club basketball, great opportunity to get to compete against some really good players in front of college coaches.
Certainly well said there. Nate Kading, Sanford Sports Director of Basketball, is our guest. And again, for more information, easy to find, sanfordsports.com. Boys Combine features grades 10 through 12. That is going to be Sunday, June the 23rd. Girls Combine grades 9 through 12 is the following day. Both events 1 to 5 p.m. It includes a Sanford Sports Basketball Academy jersey. Space is limited, so if you're interested, have a young athlete that's interested, sanfordsports.com, the place to go. Nate, I wanted to ask you, because you've been involved with NSIC basketball, you've been involved with area basketball, University of Sioux Falls as well. When it comes to the high school game in South Dakota and this area, you can lump in Southwest Minnesota, you can lump in Northern Nebraska, but in South Dakota, in this area, what kind of growth have you seen, not just in terms of numbers and kind of visibility, but in terms of the talent? Because I feel like we're starting to see the growth and starting to see a lot of top players get plucked around to different schools. And I feel like that opportunity and the visibility is growing year in and year out for South Dakota high school hoops.
Yeah, and I've said this multiple times before. I think this area is really blessed, because when you look at some of the high school coaches and programs around here, in addition to some of the club and just facilities that these area people have access to, It's just crazy when you look at the skill level of some of these kids and how young they are. And then obviously they can kind of continue to build that up into high school. And I really think that's, you know, that's where you're kind of seeing, you know, better and better and better players. And in these athletes are just pouring so much time and energy and effort into it. And it's helping them, you know. And then the other piece of it, I think, you know, people that have been around for 40, 50 years would probably also tell you that there's been some really good players around here. I think the nature of today's game and how, you know, the advent of social media and just there's really no kind of hidden gems or secrets much of anymore, you know. And so people have also kind of figured out that, man, I don't know whether it's in the Dakotas or whether it's in Chicago or Houston or New York, like there's some good basketball, you know, and we've seen that, you know, with guys like JT Rock going to Iowa State, the amount of girl, you know, we had a good selection of girls that went up to SDSU on the women's side this past year. And a couple of them could have had probably opportunities at a lot of different places, you know? So it's fun to be able to see, you know, the hard work that these athletes are putting in and people recognizing that, the opportunities that they're garnering.
And certainly is an area for growth, and couldn't do it without the help of Samford Sports. Samford Sports Director of Basketball, Nate Kading, our guest. Before we let you go, we just had the end of the NBA season. What did you make of the finals this year and the Celtics and their staying power? And also, Nate, I don't know where your allegiance lies in the NBA. Minnesota Timberwolves have the third best odds for next year's NBA finals. Is that too high, too low, or just right? What do you think?
I tell you what, Bert, it's disappointing to say this, but we've been so busy here. I think I was able to watch about 10 minutes of the actual finals. But
yep.
No, the Celtics are a heck of a group. Honestly, Brad Stevens did a tremendous job with a couple of the moves that they made, you know, to bring in Porzingis, and just how that all came together was special. And they were certainly the best team throughout a large majority of the season. And I am a T-Wolves guy, so I'm hoping that they can continue to push things forward. And Anthony Edwards is obviously a special player, so we gotta enjoy him while he's still in Minneapolis, and hopefully they can continue to make a push and make a run. And now that the final's over, we lock in on the WNBA, and then we got Olympics coming up. So
hey.
Not a bad here couple months stretch.
Oh, absolutely true. Wish you all the best. That's Nate Kading, Samford Sports Director of Basketball. And again, got to make you a little nervous as a Timberwolves fan, but pretty darn cool to say you're in the top five for the odds next year, top three for the Minnesota Timberwolves. By the way, once again, boys combine grades 10 to 12, June 23rd, Sunday, 1 to 5 p.m. Girls combine grades 9 through 12 the following day, Monday, 1 to 5. Registration available. Spots still open, but space is limited. SanfordSports.com. Nate, that was a blast. We'll do it again soon, my friend. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate you having me on, Bert. Thanks much.
Oh, can't wait to do it again. Nate Kading, Samford Sports Director of Basketball. Again, SanfordSports.com. If you're looking to get yourself or your youngster into that camp, it's grades 10 through 12 for the boys, 9 through 12 for the girls. SanfordSports.com, the place to go to register for the basketball combines. That's Nate Kading. When we come back, we're going to talk football, and more. Arif Hassan of Wide Left Post. We tried to have him on last week. We got him on coming up next here on the show. We talk Brandon Ayuk. We talk T. Higgins and everything that's moving the needle across the National Football League next on Overtime.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on the Tuesday edition of Overtime. Thanks so much for tuning us in, as always. ESPN Sioux Falls, ESPN 102.3, AM 1000 KSOO. KSOO. Just wrapped up our conversation with Sanford Sports Director of Basketball, Nate Kading. You want to listen back to that, ESPNSiouxFalls.com and the free ESPN Sioux Falls app with the podcast links available. Time to talk NFL football, wide receivers, quarterbacks, and so much more. Arif Hassan of Wide Left Post joins us now on the ESPN Hotline. Arif, it's always great to talk ball with you. We're excited to have you on. How you been?
I've been good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're excited to talk, and I know you got great articles, in-depth pieces all the time at Wide Left Post, wideleft.football, the place to find Arif's great work. You got something coming up specifically in regards to quarterbacks. Tell us about it and where that's going.
Yeah, no, I've been doing a deep dive for the past, 2 weeks on clutchness in quarterbacks and whether or not quarterbacks can be reliably clutch or if we're getting fooled by randomness and numbers. I've got some numbers on kind of who the most clutch quarterbacks have been. It's no surprise that Patrick Mahomes is near the top of the list, but I think one name that kind of surprises a lot of people that's near the top is Jimmy Garoppolo. It's been fun. I've been talking to experts and psychologists about it, and it's going to be a big piece.
Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm trying to find out, I believe still a free agent, Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that correct? Oh, L.A. Rams,
yeah, I believe
actually.
So.
Okay. Gotcha. It says L.A.
Oh,
L.A.
Right.
Rams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Taking over. Yeah,
maybe he can bring some clutchness into the backup role there, but certainly interesting stuff. The NFL never sleeps, and this week the big topic of conversation is receivers. Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins finally calls it quits and calls it, hey, yes, I'll play with the Bengals on with the franchise tag. We'll start with Ayuk, though. His value and the team's value appear to be at a little bit of an impasse right now. What do you make of the situation and kind of having to pony up and pay the players for the Niners who have, in my opinion, the most talented roster in the league? Do you think we're at a really big breaking point here, or do you think it's a matter of time before they get something done?
I think that we're probably at a point where they might get something done. It wouldn't shock me if they made kind of a late move to trade him, but I think generally speaking, in these situations, the team has significantly more leverage than the receiver. I mean, he's attempting to make his case to the public, and for what it's worth, I agree with him, but I don't think that it's going to mean much. Just like T. Higgins had to fold to the Bengals, Ayuk just has to fold to what the 49ers want because they control, his future.
It's all very interesting. T. Higgins crosses the picket line, if you will. He's not holding out anymore. He signs his franchise tender, one-year deal for Higgins. I don't know if they'll be able to work out a long-term deal after this year, but again, a lot depends on what happens this season for Cincinnati. But it feels a little bit like the running back market, although receivers are still getting paid. But tough break for T. Higgins as he has to play out this one-year deal in Cincinnati. When it comes to the Bengals, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is on the short list to get a new deal soon. Do you think they're at kind of a win now mode as well in Cincinnati?
I think so. I mean, they've got a lot of contracts potentially coming up soon. Obviously, we talked about Higgins, but they're gonna have to pay Ja'Marr Chase down the road, and that's going to come with consequences when it comes to retaining a number of the players that they've signed over the past couple of years. They've already had to let go of really high level players, at the safety position especially. They've lost both Von Bell and Jesse Bates, but they've had to make sure that they keep free agents like Trey Hendrickson, like Mike Hilton happy, and I don't know that they'll be able to retain those as those contracts increase, which means that now is really the best time for them to be able to make a run at the Super Bowl because they've got a really talented roster. A lot of it's not being paid at market value, which is always an advantage for these teams, and that's not going to last forever.
And again, the Niners are in the bucket of kind of having to pay the piper here very, very soon. All sorts of different players coming up on contracts. One team that is doing this so very riskily is the Dallas Cowboys. They got all sorts of people that need to be paid. They're not really paying anyone yet. Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and others. CeeDee, again, aforementioned wide receiver on the short list to get a deal done soon. When it comes to those conundrums in Dallas, which one do you think gets sorted out quickest? Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, or CeeDee Lamb's contract?
I think probably Micah Parsons. There's not really a lot of debate about how good he is. He is perhaps the best defensive player in football, and so he'll look to get paid like that. And I think that there's not much disagreement that Dallas has about how important he is to the team. A player like Dak Prescott, who hasn't really performed in the playoffs, I think that that's going to be a big part of that conversation, that negotiation. A player like CeeDee Lamb, who last year had, you know, one of the best seasons that we've seen from a receiver, you know, hasn't performed at that level forever. And so figuring out how good of a player he is, whether he's the third best receiver or the fifth best or the seventh best, it's kind of difficult to figure out what his value is. His team is going to place him as, you know, the second or third best receiver, maybe even attempt to make the argument that he's the best. But the Dallas Cowboys probably don't see it that way. And so that type of disagreement over value is what drives, you know, deadline-oriented negotiating, where you have to go all the way to the deadline before you can sign something. Whereas somebody like Micah Parsons, you know, the team is motivated to save money, of course, but they know he's the best defensive player. And so their goal is to sign him sooner rather than later so that they can save money rather than draw out a negotiation, because ultimately that will cost them more.
Talking with Arif Hassan of WideLeft.Football on Substack. You can find it there again, WideLeft.Football. Quarterbacks are always a topic no matter what offseason we're in. Trevor Lawrence got paid. We heard about the news with Jared Goff earlier in the offseason. A couple other quarterbacks getting new deals. Trevor Lawrence gets paid, and that leaves Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, and Tua Tagovailoa as the next three up. Regardless of when they get done, between those three quarterbacks, I know there's a lot at play here, but if they get done, let's say before the season starts, which of those three gets the most money and which of those three gets the least money?
Oh, man, that one is a pretty tough one. I'd say it is probably Jared Goff. I was deciding between him and Tua, and I had to make a last-minute decision as you asked me, but I think it might be Jared Goff because he has elevated his level of play in really big moments in ways that, you know, we don't think of Jared Goff like that. But, you know, aside from obviously that last drive against San Francisco, he's been really good in the playoffs. He's been really good late in games. And obviously he's been leading a very, very productive offense. And the Lions like to take care of their players. So I would probably place him as having the highest contract. Tua has obviously been extremely talented, but he's injury prone. That's a concern. And then I think there's a bigger concern about system reliance with him than there is with Jared Goff, which I wouldn't have anticipated 3 years ago. But that might depress his market as well. So there's that. And then Jordan Love, I think that he'll probably come back down to earth a little bit this year. I think that he'll probably sign a shorter term deal just so he can, you know, once again, prove it, as it were, and sign a longer term deal later on down the line.
Arif, I know you have some history covering the Minnesota Vikings and being on the beat of that team. So let me ask you, when it comes to the conversation regarding the quarterback position, Sam Darnold will be QB1 heading into training camp. If it were up to you, if you were Coach O'Connell or if you were Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and you had the opportunity to name your starter week one, are you team Sam or team J.J. McCarthy for week one, and why?
I'm team Sam, and the reason is not because I think Sam Darnold is a better quarterback or would even be a better quarterback week one, but because they are remapping everything that J.J. McCarthy needs to do, especially from a footwork perspective. And while that's happening, he's not going to be a very good quarterback. And if you throw him out there, you'll probably undo a lot of work that you've been doing. I remember, and it's not nearly as extreme of a case or anything like that, but a good example of this is Tim Tebow, where they would fix his throwing motion every offseason, and then he'd have to enter games. And over time, the throwing motion would degrade because the muscle memory wasn't there yet. I think that with McCarthy, who obviously is a much better quarterback than Tebow, making sure that you change his throwing motion, that's going to take time. And I'd like for them to wait on that until he's absolutely ready before they throw him in games. And by then, he could be better than Darnold. I think Darnold's actually a lot more talented than we give him some credit for, based just off of his last 2 years of play. But I think that the goal for McCarthy is to maximize what he can do for now that's going to require him to be on the bench.
Obviously, a ton of storylines for the Minnesota Vikings. Kind of a reset of a season while staying competitive. Everybody pointing towards 2025 as the year for J.J. McCarthy. Minnesota back to bigger and better things. This year, just a lot of fun. New faces and some things to work out. Arif Hassan of Wide Left Post is our guest. Arif, I appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again soon, and all the best moving forward as we inch our way closer to the preseason and regular season.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Arif Hassan of Wide Left Post. Again, you want to view that material, all sorts of great articles, wideleft.football. Easy to find there. Arif Hassan at Arif Hassan NFL on Twitter as well. Bunch of great stuff and a offseason that never sleeps in the National Football League. Used to be maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, the NFL offseason got pretty darn sleepy, but everything is covered wall to wall these days, including in season. We got so many great things coming up. We got the receiver and Netflix show, the follow-up to the quarterback show that featured Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and Patrick Mahomes last year. You got Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, and others featured on this receiver Netflix show. We also have Hard Knocks coming up with the Chicago Bears. Hard Knocks in season coming up, and they're doing something different this year. We'll talk about that and more when we come back on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
A moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you for the final segment of the day, this Tuesday, June 18th edition of Overtime, and I hate to be this guy again. We saw the sun earlier, and it looks like we're about to get poured on in the 605 one way or another here very soon. Stay safe out and about today here in the 605 and beyond. We got a prolonged edition of the good, the bad, the ugly to get to. Plenty of NFL news, including some NFL TV news, some antitrust lawsuit news, and of course, Hard Knocks is back. It'll be the Chicago Bears for training camp and preseason, but they got something cool cooked up for the in-season edition of Hard Knocks this year. We'll tell you all about it now in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side, whined a bit too much, and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
First things first here, the AFC North should be the best division in the National Football League this year, and according to ESPN.com, the entire division is ready for their close-up. The division best known for heated rivalries and star quarterbacks will be featured on the in-season edition of HBO's Hard Knocks TV series this season. It's the first time the Emmy Award-winning series has chronicled an entire division at once. Last season, the AFC North's four teams, the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers, all finished with winning records. Quarterbacks Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson. Maybe Justin Fields, who was traded to the Broncos to Pittsburgh this offseason. There are plenty of storylines in the North, along with a reputation for tight and testy games. Hard Knocks in season with the AFC North will debut on December 3rd and finish out through the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. Last year, the AFC North became the first division to have every team finish with a winning record since the 1935 Western Division. Ravens, Steelers, Browns, and Bengals combined for a record of 43-25 last year, which was the highest win percentage of any division in 2023. No other division combined to win more than 35 games last year, so 43, definitely an outlier. Am I weird and sick in the head to think that this division might be better this year? For this to be on Hard Knocks is an absolute win. Bravo to HBO, the producers, the planners, and the NFL for allowing the access, because there's going to be nothing cooler than seeing both sides of the coin before a rivalry matchup. As we get down to the nitty-gritty of the season, the Bengals need a win in Week 17. How about the Browns need to win in Week 18 to get into the postseason? Something funky. We get to see both sides of the rivalry matchups down the stretch of the season. I said it earlier and I'll say it again. The one team that I'm not crazy high on in this division, but if history tells us anything, will still finish with 8, 9, or 10 wins is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a different quarterback. They got two different options at quarterback that are different this year. They got Justin Fields presumably on the bench to start training camp. They got Russell Wilson, the savvy veteran, as the starter. Wilson has not been the same since departing Seattle. A couple bad years in Denver, although last year better than 2022. But last season, the wins list here for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got a 4-point win against Cleveland and Deshaun Watson in week two. They beat the Raiders, the Ravens, the Rams, the Titans, the Packers when they weren't good, the Bengals without Joe Burrow once, the Bengals without Joe Burrow again, beat the Seahawks and the Ravens. So a couple big wins there, including a pair of wins against Baltimore. But you look at the other games, including the pair of wins against Cincinnati without Joe Burrow, it's hard to believe. And again, the schedule's different. The stories are different. The injuries are different. And the circumstances certainly different every single year. But hard to believe that the Steelers will sweep the Bengals and the Ravens once again. They did just that last year. They split with the Browns. Phenomenal. Record within the division for Pittsburgh. I think that changes a bit. So if Pittsburgh wants to go to the playoffs again, they'll have to do better outside of the division and assume a little bit more competition, close games, and more losses coming their way within the division, which I think, and many people think, is the best division in pro football. Lamar Jackson coming off second MVP win, came up short in his first trip to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, certainly a storyline. Count me in for the in-season version of Hard Knocks. I'm always in. I don't need to send an RSVP. It's common knowledge. I love preseason football. I love training camp, and I love Hard Knocks the most of all. Even got my family hooked on it over the last couple years as well. Chicago Bears, rival of my Green Bay Packers, but certainly must-see TV no matter who they're covering for Hard Knocks on HBO. On to the bad news. St. John's and Athletic Director Mike Cragg are parting ways after 6 years. The school made the announcement on Monday. Cragg's tenure will end at the end of the month. It has been an honor to lead the athletic department at St. John's University, Cragg said in a statement. I'm proud of what we've accomplished together and am confident that the department is in a strong position for continued success. Cragg took over back in 2018 after more than 30 years down in Durham at Duke University, where he worked closely with Mike Krzyzewski and the Blue Devils basketball program. During his 6 years in charge of New York City, St. John's won 6 Big East championships as well as pair of individual national championships in fencing. The school's athletic programs also moved back to Nike as recently as 2019 after being outfitted by Under Armour for the 6 years prior. Certainly a turnaround in the works at St. John's, but they will continue that turnaround without the services of longtime athletic director Mike Cragg. On to the ugly news. Former LSU football coach Les Miles is suing the school for vacating wins in response to an NCAA infractions case, a move that dropped Miles below the threshold for College Football Hall of Fame qualification. Miles coached the Tigers from 2005 to 2016, was also named the NCAA and the National Football Foundation, also named that which manages the College Football Hall of Fame, as defendants in the lawsuit. The lawsuit states that he was deprived of property rights to the vacated wins and his nomination for the Hall of Fame, which must be done by those affiliated with an NCAA member school. Back in 2023, LSU vacated 37 wins because of recruiting violations stemming from impermissible benefits paid to the father of a former player. The wins coincided with Alexander Vidal Alexander's playing career from 2012 to 2015 under Les Miles, when the team went 37-14 during that stretch. The vacated football wins were announced alongside other penalties for LSU's football and men's basketball programs by the NCAA's independent an accountability resolution process. The 37 vacated wins dropped Miles's overall record from 145-73, a winning percentage of 665, to 108-73, a winning percentage of 597. Coaches must have a career winning percentage of 600 in at least 100 games to qualify for selection to the College Football Hall of Fame. The 70-year-old Miles helped LSU win a national title in 2007 and also won 2 SEC titles at the school. Miles, of course, went on to win, was coach as well at Oklahoma State and at Kansas. So lawsuit, ugly situation. But I'll say this, I've never understood putting up statistical barriers to Hall of Fame candidacy. What if you're a damn good head coach at a really bad program and you just instill a turnaround? For instance, Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin hero, Hall of Famer, certainly has the resume to be a Hall of Famer, but I don't understand, based on judging things based on the quantification of it all, you need to have this winning percentage and at least 100 wins. Why? What if you have 99 wins and your winning percentage is absolutely extraordinary and you decide to call it quits and you're one of the best assistants ever? You go to be a head coach 3-4 years, win a couple national titles. You can't get in because you didn't get a certain number of wins set up by a bunch of people in an office in Atlanta, Georgia. That doesn't make sense to me. If you're a good coach and a great coach, you write your own story, you change the game, you influence the game for the better, you should be a Hall of Famer regardless of what kind of quantification they make regarding your career. That is dumb to have it, and dumb in this case. But again, Les Miles suing LSU, very ugly situation there. But that's my 2 cents as far as instilling guidelines as to what you need as a threshold to get into a Hall of Fame. Doesn't feel right to me on that regard. Lastly here, the NFL has come into the crosshairs of an antitrust lawsuit relating to the Sunday ticket package. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell reiterated during testimony in federal court yesterday that the NFL Sunday ticket package, the subject of a current class action lawsuit, is a premium product while also defending the league's broadcast model. Goodell was called as a witness by the NFL as a trial for the lawsuit filed by Sunday Ticket subscribers entered its third week and was on the stand for nearly 4 hours yesterday. "We've been clear throughout that this is a premium product, not just on pricing, but quality," Goodell said during cross-examination in a Los Angeles courtroom. "Fans make that choice whether they wanted it or not. I'm sure there were fans who said it was too costly." Goodell has been commissioner since 2006 and said he believes this is the first time he's been called to testify in federal court during his tenure. The class action, which covers 2.4 million residential subscribers and 48,000 businesses who paid for the package from 2011 through 2022, claims that the league broke antitrust laws by selling its package of out-of-market Sunday afternoon games at an inflated price. The subscribers also say that the league restricted competition by offering Sunday Ticket only on a satellite provider. Again, same deal with the Les Miles situation and a smattering of other lawsuits announced in the last couple weeks. We're going to wait and see, but yes, Sunday Ticket has been outrageously pricey for a very long time. It's not easy to find. It's not easy to pony up and pay for. It certainly is a premium product. But we'll wait and see how that settles out in court. Damages up to $7 billion could triple to $21 billion because antitrust cases can triple damages. That's our show. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, 11 to 1, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.